Welcome to VFNO Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is the producer of VFNO Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And Chris.
Hello.
We're going to be covering so many things today. We were hoping we could cover Jim Baker's 31 things. It looks like maybe tomorrow we're going to cover that prophetic happenings. 18 has come to pass. The rest has not. But it is happening as we speak. Also, created for purpose. God has created you for a purpose. But there's key factors in our lives that we need to have to be able to bring that purpose to pass. You got to have peace. You got to have power to be able to fulfill your purpose. Also, we talk a little bit about Catherine Kuhlman and her ministry. One of the women of God that just went after God from chicken coops to stadiums, how she impacted America for God because she had an awesome love and compassion for it. We'll give a shout out to all those that God is speaking to as you're migrating to the will of God. I want to encourage you on your journey. Understand that the Lord has directed you. Understand you can expect great things to happen. Hopefully we'll get a chance to be able to go, maybe the first hour, the extra hour today, to be able to go or walk through the book of Ephesians, such a powerful book to the church. We're going to begin our talk in the original intent of America. We're going to begin again to try to explain the original intent. They've taken it so far away from it and mixed so many things up. It's real easy to get confused with that. We're going to try to begin that conversation again on a republic versus other forms of government. A federal union. You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And Chris.
Hello.
My goodness, we were just listening to Jim Baker's word that he had gotten when he was in a resort. And and when he was there, God really spoke to him, and just he humbled himself and shared with him 31 things. And out of those 31, at the time when he was sharing it, 18 had already come to pass. But actually more of that 31 has come to pass since then. But the biggest thing that we're seeing take place right now when, and we'll hear, you can hear this, to make sure you stay tuned for tomorrow or Thursday. It'd be Thursday, or not tomorrow, but the next day, is watch Turkey, watch the Middle East, watch Russia, watch Korea. And the Middle East, and that's what's happening right now. Just everything's just happening all over there. And who would ever thought North Korea would have had so much noise, could make so much noise. And, of course, reportedly, according to Pat Robinson, it's really, with CBN, it's actually his aunt.
Right.
Which is the his father's
sister.
Who is the one that's really running things there? Mm-hmm. Go figure.
Man, imagine that.
How's that work out all the time? Anyway, so I just want to encourage you that God is speaking. God is in control. There's nothing to fear but not having a fear of the Lord.
That's right.
You know, nothing to fear but fear itself, because fear is the devil's fate, if you would, to bring you past his will. We're going to be talking also about... you were created for a purpose, and most people spend their life not even knowing that. And those that feel inside they do, they've tapped into somewhat of their purpose, they don't know how to get there. And if they know how to get there, they don't know how to maintain on the journey to be able to get there. And there's three components to being able to fulfill your destiny and purpose in God. And we're going to begin to share a conversation that was had. We're going to let you hear it at a gathering that happened at a nighttime, so you can hear and begin to stir your heart over that. We got so many things to share with you. One is, I thought was pretty interesting, and speaking of God's news behind the news, that you may have heard us share it on BFN Radio, but the Benghazi situation over in Libya is... The top, as a matter of fact, CBN's reporting on the whistleblowers, Benghazi, a terror attack from the get-go. And prophetically, you know, we were speaking on the air because we're talking about not just the news. We're always talking about what God's news behind the news is. And what we were saying at that time, and if we had it pulled up, we could play it for you, but you can find it at the VFN Torch, that there was something wrong. It wasn't right. Things are being covered up here, even to the point it appears allegedly that the ambassador was being done away with. Wow. You know, I mean, that's what the prophetic word was then. I mean, it just seemed, you know, allegedly that's what was being done, but, you know, it was not verified. And now they're reporting that they knew from the moment that it was a terror attack and they could have responded. As a matter of fact, listen to CBN News.
Thanks for joining us here on the CBN News Channel. I'm Ephraim Graham. The deadly attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi is back in the spotlight on Capitol Hill this week. Three officials will testify before a government committee investigating the attack. Republicans charge the Obama administration is covering up mistakes in its response to the attack and the aftermath. As George Thomas shows us, one high State Department official will challenge the White House's account.
Three men, all career State Department employees, will testify this week that the White House misled the country on what happened at the U.S. diplomatic mission in Benghazi, Libya. One of them is Gregory Hicks. He was the number two man in Libya. He will tell Congress that he knew immediately the attack wasn't in response to a protest. According to interview transcripts, Hicks says, "I thought it was a terrorist attack from the get-go. I think everybody in the mission thought it was a terrorist attack from the beginning." U.S. Ambassador to Libya Chris Stevens died in the attack along with three other Americans. Yet 5 days after the attack on September 11, 2012, U.N. Ambassador Susan Rice went on multiple Sunday shows blaming the incident on an anti-Muslim video that appeared on the Internet. She insisted the attack was spontaneous. Some Republicans say the administration's response was calculated, coming on the heels of a presidential election less than 2 months away.
Well, clearly there was a political decision to say something different than what was reasonable to say.
Hicks will also testify that a small team of U.S. Special Forces were ready to fly a rescue mission to Benghazi, but were ordered to stand down. This directly contradicts the White House, which said all available resources were explored to respond to the attacks. This past weekend, several Democrats said Rice's comments about the attack were wrong and that references to Islamic extremists and al-Qaeda were scrubbed from her so-called talking points. Some Republicans accused the Obama administration of trying to downplay the threat posed by terrorists.
There's sort of a tendency to underplay what is, in fact, I think, a growing and pretty dangerous and to some extent a different kind of threat than what we were facing, you know, three or four years ago.
Hicks has also told investigators that Ambassador Rice's response may have hampered efforts to capture those responsible for the Benghazi attacks, saying, "I firmly believe that the reason it took us so long to get the FBI to Benghazi is because of those Sunday talk shows." Hicks and the two State Department employees will speak publicly for the first time Wednesday when they appear before Congress. George Thomas, CBN News.
It was spoken prophetically by John Paul Jackson of Streams Ministries that in Awe TV that a day's coming that you won't even political leaders, you don't even, they don't, it doesn't, can't trust anything they're saying. And I mean, we're going to have to apologize to people like Richard Nixon and other people.
Really.
That things that were done and said for something so serious as what's taking place in the world today for political gain, power. If this is true, and of course this is just being reported by CBN News, this is tragic. I guess the biggest tragedy of all about it is most don't even think about it.
That didn't cross their mind.
That didn't cross their mind. And how soon the largest attack on America has faded away since 9/11, which was the Boston Marathon bombings by terrorists.
Right.
And you're thinking, my goodness, you know, we have to, you know, keep us awake. And it makes me think of this generation. If you haven't yet watched on VFN TV at VFNTV.com, this generation, but there comes a point in time when you can't even resist your enemies anymore, you just have no power, you have no strength left, and you're just going into captivity. And it's pretty much God saying, I've tried everything to get your attention, and you're not listening to me, so you're going to be taken and sold as slaves to your enemy, what he says.
Yeah.
And first he sends people in. He allows people to be sent in. But he actually sent them in, if you read about Israel, to raid his people. Because his people, you understand, they were pagans. They totally left God, the knowledge of God, and just went to begin to do their own thing. And that's what's happened today, in today's culture. As a matter of fact, I believe it was in Oregon, Seattle, there was people in the town square dancing around a golden calf in belly dancing type things. And it's just amazing how, once you're given over to something, it's like, do you realize what you're walking out here? And then, so here we are at this point, and you start looking, is the church in America going to wake up? And the one thing that we have to respond to, remember, the first thing that happens is God was sending raiders. And you can see this, it's called This Generation on VFN TV. Don't give up hope, even for a pagan generation. This stuff has happened over and over again. But God rescues his people when they begin to turn back to him. But in that, he sends raiders to just take away all the stuff and things and everything that his people wouldn't give up and wouldn't honor him with.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's going to get their attention. And it's like, everything's being taken away right now. It seems like you're actually are doing well when you're borrowing money. But the truth is, they're going to start calling for their loans. You can get this false sense of doing well and when you borrow money. I'll never forget years ago when I got my first loan. I had this sense of like, wow, it was amazing. And
until that statement came in, man.
Well, I was very young. I was probably 17 or something. I don't know what I was, 18. And you just have this ignorant sense of, this is great.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think, because it's a false feeling that's not your money. That's somebody letting you borrow their money, but you still don't know it yet because the first payment's not due.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, the payment comes due. And then you start realizing more and more of your life now is starting to have to pay for what you borrowed in the past.
Yep.
So if you don't gain wisdom from that, you think, well, I need to borrow some more money so I can have what experience that I had prior to that. And so if you fall captive to the American mindset, you would go borrow more money. And you have that feeling for a moment and you're able to take care of some things. But eventually, just like the first loan, you're going to have to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually your entire income for that month is committed to debt service because you're paying off loan A, loan B, loan C, loan D, and you have no money left.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was not true. You really weren't doing well when you were borrowing money. You just felt like you were doing well. And now, not only were you not doing well before you borrowed money, now you're not doing well and you're indebted to the lender.
Right.
Now, your things and stuff are going to be raided if you don't pay attention to the taskmaster who now rules your life. And I encourage you, do everything you can to get out of debt, lower your debt down. Don't take on extra stuff right now because everything that you owe, it looks like, the adversary is going to begin to control, God's people and the people of the land. China, at any moment, could begin to call their loan back, although their economy is kind of struggling right now. If they do that, that leaves no choice but for the American government to respond and pay their money back.
Right.
Germany asked for their gold, by the way, and they said, okay, it's going to take us 7 years to get it. We don't know where we put it at, but we're going to get to it. And they said something like, we're going to give you like 10% of it.
All right.
Isn't that something?
Wow.
You get 10% of it. And it's like, wow. And you really think that if something happens that you're going to be able to run to the bank and go, hey, I need some money. They say, okay, I'll tell you what, it's going to take us 7 years to get it out, but we're going to give you 10% of it in 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
It just goes to show you, they told a whole nation that it's going to take, we're not going to give you all your gold, but we'll give you like 10% of it, whatever it was. And it's going to take 7 years for the whole process to happen.
Wow.
Of course, probably it's war debt and things. You know, if you, we'll help you out if you put your goal with us or something. Mm-hmm. But it's just amazing what's taking place right now. And so I want to encourage you, begin to think wisely and get free. I think about the shrewd young manager that Jesus talked about, that this is Jesus. This is God talking through his son, Jesus, Emmanuel, God in the flesh. You've seen the son, you've seen the father. He said this, he said, there was this manager that found out that he was going to be fired. He found out he was going to be fired and for not doing a good job or whatever. And so he was collector. He would collect for his boss. You know, they would come and they would give grain and different kinds of products for his master, and he would for his boss, and he would pay them, or he would charge them for them coming to get products, for example. And when he found out he was going to lose his job, he realized, he says, man, I says, I'm too proud to dig ditches, I guess you mm-hmm. would say, but I'm too proud to be a servant. And he said also that he's not going to have anything. So he needs to say, yeah, we can start, I need to start doing some things, being nice to these folks, so at least I'm welcome into somebody's house.
Right.
You know? And you'll find out the practices in America that if leaders don't change their way, because you only leave for a period of time anyway, is you won't be welcome in anybody's house.
That's right.
And so this is Jesus telling the story. And so what the man does, he starts calling people in. He says, how much do you owe my boss? And the man, they would say something like, $1,000. He said, well, I'll cut it in half. Just pay $500 and you're free. Mm-hmm. And then somebody else, he says, how much do you owe? And they said something like, you know, I don't know, $500 or whatever. And he says, just pay a percentage of it. Don't worry about it. You're taken care of. And Jesus said this boss man came to this employee and commended him. I mean, what kind of boss is going to, you know, go, I just thank you for giving away my products and my finances?
I never understood that.
Well, the whole thing is this, is that it's all God's.
Yeah.
And he understood the priority of things, and the priority of things is to be good to people and not just to get your stuff and things and treat people bad. And it has nothing to do, it boils down to how you're treating God and how you're treating others. By the way, and how you're treating others is how you're treating God. And so Jesus said the manager, the boss man, comes in there and tells this guy, man, he commended him. He's like, great job. I can see the ceremony now. I just want to thank him. He did such a good job. And he called him a shrewd manager. Mm-hmm. Because he began to make decisions that were based on his reality. He realized, hey, you know, I'm not going to have a job. And this is where America is right now. We need to start making better decisions, understanding that our future is going to be different than our present. Mm-hmm. And the first thing you can do is stop just living for yourself. You know, if you're a Christian, you're supposed to have denied yourself and follow Jesus anyway. So, hey, this is a good time, this side of history.
All right.
Start doing it now. So afterwards.
Figure it out now.
And in the words that I'm telling, you know, that, you know, Pat can testify to, you know, I don't ever call myself a prophet, but it seems to be prophetic words come out.
That's right.
I'm shocked. Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. That's prophetic. But was many people are going to be losing their jobs. Mm-hmm. And everybody had a job by that time. Everybody's all employed, spending all their money around the world, around America. And of course, everybody looked at me strange. And I said, there's going to be a day that CEOs, former CEOs of organizations will be standing in Walmart, working in Walmart, and be happy about it and be thankful and grateful that they just have a job.
Mm-hmm.
And this week, I heard on the news, a particular man that was worked in the banking industry, CEO type, that was out of a job for 2 years. And there's obviously a lot of people out of work. And doesn't seem that our government's concerned about it.
Right.
And he said on the interview, when he finally got a job, he got a job as a branch manager, you know, from CEO, leader of bank industry, mm-hmm. to just a branch manager, something on a branch manager, but you understand, for him, it would be a home.
Right, huge job.
they said, well, how do you think about this kind of presented way as a demotion? And the guy says, I'm just grateful. I get up every morning and I'm grateful to have a job. I just did not realize how fragile this thing is. And see, God holds all things together. And this shrewd young manager that Jesus gave us an example of, he realized that God is in control, and it matters how you treat people, and it matters more so the horizontal and the vertical versus what's happening in the economies and what's happening in business, what's happening with your stuff and things. And if in the end you still love people and they still care about you because you did right before them and God, then you did well. No matter how it turns out, you'll be commended too. You're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back in a moment.
Law, liberty, justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I have a daughter who is currently on active duty in the military. She has been put in charge of founding a youth group within the chapel setting, and the people there have been real resistive as far as fundraising events or some of the other ideas that she would like to implement. She was wondering where she would go to find the information that would make her superiors more comfortable in knowing what the parameters are.
First, of course, our website has a tremendous amount of information on this issue, but we also have a couple of lawyers at the American Center for Law and Justice that deal with issues of religious liberty and the military. And you're correct. These youth groups can meet. They can have the same rights as they would in private life. Let me get you in touch with our lawyers. Also encourage you to get your daughter to go to our website at ACLJ.org.
Visit us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
I want to encourage you. You know, if you felt like you had a call in your life, you feel like you just want to get closer to God, you're ready to get a better perspective, a deeper perspective, you just want to walk with God, you know, you want to be close to Him, you want to love God and love others and lead others to the same. You know, it's so important to learn the ways of God. It's so important to not just, you know, give your heart to God, which is ultimately important, but then you have to learn His ways. He says, those who follow my teachings are really my disciple. The dangerous thing about not learning His ways will end up following some ways that are not His ways, and eventually we could be led astray. Don't be led astray. You can register today for VFNU.org. It's Fine Fellowship Network University. If you feel like you're called into leadership, you feel like you want to go deeper in God, and also join us in the VFN family, you know, VFNfamily.org. Find out if that's for you. Find out if you're called to connect with and relate with believers who are abiding with God and just desire to follow God in that. But it's a VFNU. For VFN University, VFNU.org. You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to VFN Radio every day, you know, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire 2-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you.
You know, you might be listening to the VFN radio right now and begin to hear what God's doing and how God has touched other people's lives. And then you might be asking yourself, you know, can God really use me? And you might be taking an account and looking back and what you've done in your life and think that God can't. Well, I want to encourage you that you can read stories and read through the transition of how God encountered other people's lives and look into to see what God did. I want to encourage you to read and check out meetmyfather.org. And on the right-hand side of that, you'll see read other testimonies, read other stories, and you can see how God used people just like you to draw people to Himself. meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
If you ever heard someone speak about the Word of God and you just spin in awe and wondered, oh my gosh, I wish I could hear God like that. Well, guess what? You can. I want to demystify the voice of God for you. We have a simple plan for you at iabide.org where you can begin to learn what is your rightful inheritance to hear the Father's voice. God wants to speak to you on a daily basis. He says, my sheep know my voice and they follow one another. That's you. You're his sheep. Get your plan at iabide.org. Hearing God's voice is not as hard as others have made it out to be.
Welcome back to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and Chris. Pat, what is God saying to you, man? The fear of the Lord. The fear. I know you've been really just meditating on that. Talk to us, man.
Oh, man, I've been devouring it. It's just, wow, it's just getting deeper and deeper in Revelation. You know, last time I was talking, it was about, you know, Nadab and Abihu and their reverent offering and how the glory of God was so present. There was just this immediate judgment. And then that's even goes into the New Testament. You see Ananias and Sapphira, how they were dealt with because glory of God was so present. Well, then it takes you, you know, several hundred years on from, you know, I talked about Nadab and Abihu. And then further on, when, you know, the children of Israel had, you know, strayed away from God and, you know, they started doing things how they saw fit. You know, it talks about in the book of Judges. And then it gets to, talks about Eli and his sons.
Right.
You know, and they were supposed to be the caretakers of the ark and the presence.
Right.
And, you know, and all that. And it talked about how, you know, the voice of the Lord was rare in those days.
Right.
You know, and his eyes were going bad and he couldn't see.
Right.
They weren't hearing God's voice.
Right.
His sons were supposed to be taking care of things and they're like doing horrific things. They're, you know, taking advantage of the women that would come to worship and taking their offerings for themselves. It was just horrific.
Eli was like frying up the food instead of,
oh my gosh,
the boil offerings. He wasn't doing offerings the right way.
Exactly.
He wasn't honoring the offering.
It was terrible. And so obviously God's presence was nowhere around.
Right.
So, which, you know, Eli didn't deal with his sons. And so you wouldn't know, well, why didn't God, you know, like he did earlier, you know, why didn't he deal with them?
Right.
Well, and he talked about why was God's judgment delayed? That's the name of this chapter, Delayed Judgment.
You're talking about John Bevere's book,
John Bevere, Fear of the Lord. Fear the Lord, correct. And it was because of, you know, because the light was so dim, there was, you know, he was not present. He cannot be around that type of atmosphere. He just won't.
Right.
Period.
That's what so often people think. They think, well, hey, when I got close to that ministry or that church gathering or whatever, then terrible things started happening to me. But when I left, all of a sudden, I don't have
the pressure lifted.
All, you know,
yeah.
Nadab's still alive.
Exactly.
I was still alive. Eli's son's doing whatever they were doing and not big deal. And the whole thing is like you're just saying, right? It's like, it's not the fact that, that what we were doing was right. It's the fact we got away from the consequences and the holiness and the presence of God, who his very presence judges sin.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, you're thinking, they're sons because there was nothing happened to them. So they thought, well, God obviously must be winking at this. It's no big deal. So they keep on and keep on and never.
And he talked to them. He did say, hey, sons, I hear there's a report. Yeah. This is going on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all he did.
Which, right.
And he should have instantly removed them and just dealt with it, but he didn't.
Right.
So eventually what ends up happening is, you know, God does end up dealing with them. They end up getting killed in war. On the same day, the sons die. And once Eli finds out about it, he falls out of his chair and breaks his neck. So within a day.
Right.
In a day.
Right.
Instantly. I mean, it was over for them.
Right.
And I think they even talked about, I think their family line was...
Yes, exactly.
Ichabod.
They had a daughter. His daughter-in-law was having a child, and they changed the name of the child to Ichabod, which means the glory has departed.
Exactly.
And what happened was the ark was gone. They lost the ark to, they lost the presence of God to the enemy.
Yeah.
And some people say, well, why is, you know, there was a day in the season when God was moving, but now it just seems like, and I know those folks ain't right, but things are happening with those folks down there, those Philistines, cause I, but they got, what's going on? It's like, it's because God's just left his people. Mm-hmm. He pulled away from them. And, yeah. And that's so serious, you know, when you think about it. And if you can't handle correction in your life, and you know, sometimes it's real difficult to bring correction to America. I was just talking to an employer who says the type of people that are being raised up and trained up in our schools in America today that he's dealing with, that if he has an employee that he has to bring correction to, if he brings correction one time, he can pretty much guarantee the next day they're gone.
They're not going to show up.
They're not going to show up. And it's like, oh, what have we done? And the whole, but there's an environment that's created in such a way today that prevents authority or hinders authority from doing what it needs to do. I mean, there's parents that are disciplining their children, and the authorities are getting involved in that. There's, you know, husbands that are trying to lead their homes, but then they're actually emasculating the husband and saying that he doesn't and shouldn't be doing that, and the father shouldn't be doing that. There's mothers, you know, trying to get help, and they say, you know, help me with this situation, the children, and they hold her accountable for it, they hold the father accountable for it, but they don't, they actually hinder them in the process of doing it. And this is what he actually said about that, by the way. That this is how significant this is in our country today. It's a spirit, by the way. You wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the spirit, which means you still got to do what's right. And this is this one particular parent did. This man had his sons that had did some bad things at the school, I believe it was. And so he, when he gets home, he gets onto his boys and he disciplines his boys. Mm-hmm. Well, the boys go to school the next day, and they tell the teacher, they send out some sort of governmental thing to his house, and they tell him that you can't do this or whatever. And so then they leave as it was. And then the boys go off and do something bad again at school, the two brothers do. And so this time he disciplined them again. But this time he told me, so this is what I want you to do. Mm-hmm. I want you to go in the morning. I want you to get on the bus. And I want you to get off the bus. I want you to talk to any of your friends. I want you to go straight to the principal's office. And I want you to tell them what I did. I want you to let them right up front what I did. And so they got on the bus and they went to school. And while they were gone, he was packing up all their luggage. And packing up both the son's suitcases. And went and sat on the front porch of his house. And what do you know? There comes the government, you know, coming out. And, you know, this guy's just trying to raise his kids. Mm-hmm. And boys, and then the person pulls up, and he tries to get into the back seat of the car, but it's locked.
And who's this?
This is the father who tries to get into the back seat of the car, because he's thinking, you know, and the person says, what are you doing? What's going on? He says, well, hey, you know, you guys think you could do it better? There's your luggage right there. There's two suitcases right there. Take me to jail. And long story short, the person... The government person says, listen, you're doing the right thing. You know, actually commended him. Mm-hmm. But if he wouldn't have stood up for what's right, then no telling what would happen. Because I've seen other parents that were treated differently in the whole situation. And coming from a law enforcement perspective is, you know, as I was in law enforcement, this is what's going to happen. If your child doesn't listen to you, you know, and you are moving in authority, and just because you discipline them, it doesn't mean that they will. That eventually they're going to face authority. They're going to face authority. And but it's not easy. And that's what, you know, you're talking about right here. And we're going to continue talking about the fear of the Lord. It's not easy to do what's right. Mm-mm. But you have to do what's right. And but they will actually come and arrest them as adults or as young people, put handcuffs on them, put them in the back of a metal cage of a car, take them in and strip search them, put them in a locked jail cell, stun them with 45,000 plus volts of electricity with stun guns, hit them with nightsticks. I mean, they'll do all this physical stuff to them. And all you wanted to do was just typical discipline that happens in your home that God says to do,
yeah,
you know, for your child. And so there's a double thing. You know, it's easier said than done when somebody says, you should just discipline your child. Well, all hell broke loose in society when I tried to discipline my daughter or my son, the guy would say, or the mother would say. And what it is a strategy of Satan to keep you from doing the very thing you need to do. Mm-hmm. And what happens if you don't, this is what happens. Mm-hmm. God just pulls his presence away from that family, from that marriage, from that church gathering. And that's what happened here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Eli not dealing with his sons.
Yeah. Of course, the whole theme of this chapter was delayed judgment. But one of the quotes he says, judgment delayed is never judgment denied.
Yes.
I remember the first time I heard that, that's rocked my world.
Yeah.
It's
the mercies of God.
It's the mercies of God that he doesn't deal with you instantly. You know, it's grace of God.
So many people, you know, that because we're so instant, we think if God didn't give us an answer and we asked the question within 24 hours, the answer he gives us 30 days later is obviously not the answer to that question. That must be an answer to some other question, right?
Right, right.
You know, or this hardship happening cannot connect to something that happened 6 months ago or 6 years ago that I have not yet repented of in my life. You know, and it's like, you're right.
Mm.
Judgment delayed is not judgment denied.
Yeah, it's just mercy.
And that's where we are right now in America, man. I feel like even in America, I just, you know, sense the sins of our fathers.
Yeah.
Not just our sins, but the sins of our fathers just about to pour down on top of us because the church is turning their back on God. I mean, as we say continually, most believers don't even read the Word of God,
mm-mm,
you know, according to George Barna. And really 97%, when you think about it in the context of the way God says read it, doesn't do it.
Right.
And that's turning away from God. And so yeah, I'm kind of sensing that with America, that God's pulling his hand off of America, and Ichabod could be written over America if we don't say, God, you know, I want your glory. And we got to become desperate for the glory of God, which means you got to deal with yourself.
That's just it. You're going to have to deal with yourself. You want God's glory and his presence. Realize, you're going to be dealt with.
Yes.
You know, if there's anything in your life.
Yeah. And on VFN TV, you can go to VFNTV.com and watch VFN TV, Desperate for God's, or listen to Desperate for God's Glory. And you just got to get desperate. You know, like David got desperate. And he started at first, and he found out he had to deal with some things when he lost Uzzah in Ohio on the journey there. Mm-hmm. And the fear of God, it landed. He went back. He went and began to read the Bible. He went back to read the Word and goes, oh, this is how you do it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so many people ask for more of the Lord. And it's like, right now, you probably don't want more of the Lord, because more of his presence right now with that in your life is going to bring terrible things. And we've seen some stuff. Why are you talking to me like this? I don't want you to be in Ananias. Live, right?
Exactly. Good. No, yeah. That's it.
And so you got two dilemmas going on. You had, you know, will the sons, and this is not just natural family. We're talking about spiritual family. Are you dealing with your staff? Are you dealing with your spiritual sons and spiritual daughters? Are you dealing with those that you're responsible for? And the ones that are probably the need the most dealing with, the ones that make you most uncomfortable in dealing with them because they have pride in their life. But you got to deal with that. If you don't deal with that, then Ichabod's going to be written over your ministry, over your business, over your home. And just the shifting takes place in the context of that. But yeah, his whole family lineage was ripped out of the priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Erased.
I mean, that means, you know, this poor child that was just born, it's like, what's your name? Ick. You know? Isn't Ichabod? I just go by Ick. Ick's bad enough. Your name is, your literal name of a child is, my name is Glory Has Departed. And it's like, oh dear God, you know, help us, God. We want your glory. Help us to deal with our stuff and do what's right and confront those who make it difficult for us to confront them so that you would be pleased and your presence could dwell with us. We want more of you. You're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back after these messages. But I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supplies. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out. And people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function. And realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other. We're going to be releasing this week on VFN TV, This Generation. Go to VFN TV. Go to VFNTV.com. This is VFN Radio you're listening to. Go to VFNTV.com and go to VFN TV in your menu, and you'll see a prophetic teaching about this generation. It's called This Generation. And it's time for us to wake up and respond. And it's going to encourage you because it's going to give you a perspective that if not, the things that we won't give up now, God will have taken away from us.
Mm-hmm.
He'll look, and there's raiders coming in as we speak, trying to raid the coffers, the government, the taxes, the freedoms, the Constitution, all these different things. But understand that God is allowing that. He's not doing it. He's allowing it to take place. It's his permissive will because of the choices that we've made, and he's intentionally allowing it. It's intentional. There's always somebody that wants to raid you,
mm-hmm.
but he's keeping them back. And then, you know, if we don't respond, it just escalates and gets worse in regards to that. Even being sold as a slave to your enemy. You know, slavery didn't start in America. Slavery's been around since day one. Even mm-hmm. Jesus said, you know, as Christians, you know, slaves obey your masters as unto the Lord. If you can get your freedom, get your freedom. So in the context of that, it was just an everyday conversation then. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be sold to my enemy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't want to be sold to my enemy, but I can't be in rebellion to God and think that the end's going to be good. You know, and it may happen on an individual basis. You got to listen to this. Listen to it. It's called This Generation. And what it is you have a pagan generation. But it's not unusual for a generation who has not yet received or didn't receive the gospel being transferred to their generation to be paganistic. But there's hope. There is hope, and God has a way to do that. Go to VFNTV.com and choose VFNTV on the menu and look for This Generation and begin to listen to it now and share it with your friends. It's a prophetic word for this day and this time. This is VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. Light meaning the light of the world. Not light like easy. We're doing that so that you can actually not be a part of that. Listening to VFN Radio may be your only light.
Mm.
It may be your only opportunity during a day that every news broadcast, every radio broadcast, every conversation is just dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's doubtful. It's this Hitler-like type conversations or mm-hmm. Aryan-type conversations or Iranian or Muslim type conversations or political, which is type conversations, or you could listen to VFN radio and you're able to hear what's taking place, but then you can hear what God's word says about it and you can get a perspective and you go, hey, I can know things without being terrified. I can, mm-hmm. God has prepared me during this day to have a peace in the midst of whatever's going on. There's going to be a great harvest. We're believing and praying that God would bring a third great awakening to America, and a great awakening changes the DNA of the nation. They said Hitler's goal was to de-Christianize the church, and they wanted to infiltrate it with political people. And what do we have today? We have people who are very politically connected and into some different political parties, and they like the whole scheme of the thing, and they're coming into the churches, and they're trying to de-Christianize it and make it more of a social justice movement. And that's what's taking place right now. Listen, I know this firsthand. And as a community organizer, I saw in my history, my past, that the church was being infiltrated by men and women who weren't Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And the church was just letting them come in to do social justice movements. You got to hear that. We have to understand this. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. VFN Radio gives you that knowledge and that wisdom and that light. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, to just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and Chris. Pat just got an awesome word from the Lord about fear of the Lord. We're just all trying to walk as he's walking. It's such reverential fear of the Lord.
I'm trying, man.
Yeah, it's amazing. That's so important. So if you missed that, you got to catch it. And we've been having the discussion more and more about the fear of the Lord. And if you think you don't need to grow in the fear of the Lord, that means that's your answer. You need to grow in the fear of the Lord. Catherine Kuhlman, you know, one of God's generals that, which means she's a believer that just believed God and went after God despite what anybody was saying, was just this powerful woman of God that paid this huge, huge price. She made the statement, and a lot of people were healed in her ministry. She had such a compassion for people. She was willing to live in a chicken coop.
Amazing.
She drove across the country and didn't have money to stay in a place. And being a woman minister at that time, religion just rejected the woman minister at that time. Mm-hmm. And either way, she was not offended by living in spending the night in a chicken coop so that she could minister in that particular city.
Amazing.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
That's awesome. I'm not there yet, but yeah.
Did she have to drink warm water? Did she have to drink warm water? That's right, right?
Yeah, right.
But think about it. This is just a powerful thing. It says, dear God, what our generation, Lord, help us. Right?
Yeah, we're spoiled.
I think that's about to be fixed, but it'd be really cool if we could figure out how to deal with that on this side.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
Without having to lose it, because God doesn't mind us having things, but he minds things having us. But if we're not willing, if all of a sudden we can't find Jesus no more because we can't find our way out of a chicken coop, or our flesh is uncomfortable, mm-hmm. we're not. Obviously, God must not be in this because of my suffering. I think about Mariah Etter sleeping in pop-up tents as they traveled in, you know, old cars across the country. Mm-hmm. And some people, you know, I can't minister there unless I have, you know, three hotel rooms, you know,
air conditioning,
bubbly water, and, you know, whatever. And it's just like, come on. And this is what she said when she was ministering, amongst a lot of things, is faith. And that's what she ministered, you know, faith in God. She loved God. It wasn't just a faith ministry. I mean, she loved God, therefore she had faith in God. But faith is to stop believing what you see and to start seeing what you believe.
Wow.
That's so important, because we're told by Jesus that you can ask whatever you will from him and you'll get it, but you have to believe what you're asking of him that you'll receive it, and you have to see it without doubting in your heart. And he's given you the ability and the power to begin to, you know, he's a creator. and he created you in his image and his likeness. Therefore, you can begin to speak things into existence. You can begin to create things. And when your faith locks in with God and you begin to believe what God has said about you, and he says, the reason why you ask and don't get is because you ask amiss. You don't ask in the will of God. So getting into the Word of God to find out what the will of God is and begin to speak that over your life, that you can begin. And the enemy defeats us by what we see, but remember, we don't walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And so, despite what you're seeing, you're always going to see the opposite of what you're, what has the opportunity to manifest in your life and in your workplace, in your marriage, in your family, your ministry. And this is so important because we're going to have to believe our way out of where we presently are. We're going to have to begin to believe that God exists outside the prison. You know what I'm saying? And so they rejected her ministry pretty much because she was a woman at that particular time of her ministry. And but God didn't reject her. God was obviously using her, and many people were being healed and blessed. But it was a progression. There was years of training and years of being willing to you know, stay in uncomfortable places and, you know, test all your motives and why you're doing what you're doing. And suddenly, you know, it just began to just increase over the years. Then God began to use her in such a powerful way that that stadiums would be filled, auditoriums would be filled with people. And as she's ministering, you know, the Spirit of God would just encompass the place. And people would just start getting healed. You know, people start getting healed. And there's nothing more awesome than his presence. But you have to have the faith to believe that God can heal you in the context of that. But you also have to take in consideration, because so many people just say, well, you know, I was all righteous and everything, but you didn't have the faith, therefore you didn't get any. And she was really disappointed over how a lot of people were treated in those days, because people wanted to be healed really bad, and you know, some people were healed and some weren't healed, and people, some of the ministers just blamed them. Mm-hmm. And you know, pretty much, you know, if you don't have faith to be healed, if you're alive, mm-hmm. and you don't believe it's going to happen to you, and that God can do it, pretty much he's not going to go against your will. But you got to remember too that whose faith healed the man that was dead? That came alive again, right?
Exactly.
Was this Lazarus' faith when he was laying dead in the tomb, wrapped in clothes? So it's not 100%. We got to realize just having faith in God and loving God and faith is to stop believing in what you see and start seeing what you believe. And right now, what we're seeing and we're talking about it, this reality. But at the same time, what we're saying is, but you can believe God to move despite everything. This is going to be one of the greatest harvests the world probably has ever seen. We're believing for a third great awakening. We can begin to even see it begin to quake. And it'll be in this harvest, it'll be a loyalty to Jesus Christ and his voice, that he will be the Lord of the harvest. He always was and always will be. And you'll see a lot of things going on. And, you know, hey, if they're preaching Jesus, you know, Jesus said, hey, let them do it.
That's right.
If they're not against us. Yeah. But also understand, but the his church is going to be ones that are loyal to his voice. And understand, you're just empowered when you have the voice of God in your life. You have to be willing to, you know, we want to hear all the ice cream stuff from God and all the cookies from God. But when he starts dealing with the vegetables in our life and dealing with the things in our life, understand, if you don't deal with those things in your life, when he speaks to you, you just shut down and wait for the next ice cream word. Then you're gonna stop the voice of God in your life. You're gonna stop the presence of God in your life. But just like Catherine Kuhlman would just spend this time with God and she would abide with him, and many people benefited from her abiding relationship, this is the harvest that's about to come on the face of the earth. We've seen it, we've seen parts of it, God has shown us, we've seen it even in our presence, but it's gonna be on a mass scale where God's gonna pour his spirit on all flesh. And we're going to begin to see everybody. It's not going to be just one person here, one person there. It's just going to be the family of God. Mm-hmm. And even children being used by God. Because there is no little baby Holy Spirit and adult Holy Spirit. It's the same God, same Spirit of God. And so I just want to encourage you today, you know, and we're remembering Catherine Kuhlman. And you can find out catherinekuhlman.com. and find out, you know, more about her ministry. Also, she's written about in Robert Lyrdon's book, God's General, an awesome woman of God. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today.
We have a great way for your VFN Radio listeners to connect with us beyond the program. So many of our VFN Radio listeners want more. Well, we have more for you. You can go to VFNTV.com and select VFN Torch. When you see the VFN Torch, you'll be able to get our highlights where we take the program beyond just what you hear on the radio. You'll see videos, you'll have pictures, and so much more. Not only will you be able to listen to these and watch more content, but you have the ability to email them to your friends, to your family, and spread the word. Let me tell you something. Take VFN Radio to the next level. Get more by going to VFNTV.com and select the VFN Torch now.
I want to thank you for everybody that's joining in on our Facebook. You know, you can get to it by going to VFNTV.com, or you can go to Facebook.com/VFNTV. These are going to VFNTV and click on that. But think about it. It is so cool. Every day, no matter where you are, inside the community with over a billion people now, 1/6 of the world's population is in this particular community. Everybody's saying, you got a Facebook. We got a Facebook. Mm-hmm. We got a Facebook, and it's over, I don't know, it's over 5,000. It's just clicking up, and just you're joining us, and we're so excited about that because every day we're in communication. All the highlights that are on your VFNTV app, it's at VFNTV.com. It's also on your Facebook, so it follows us everywhere we go. We got a virtual audience, a virtual stadium, if you would, that's being filled all around the world. And now we're in the Facebook community. Thank you. And if you have not yet, you know, go to our Facebook and like us. Go to Facebook.com/VFNTV and click on like. And what does that mean? When you do that, every post that goes out on our Facebook shows up on your Facebook every single day. So you can say, hey, that segment was about me. I want to be encouraged today. Maybe every day you listen to the Wisdom Moment. Maybe there's God's news behind the news and something's coming up that says, you know, I needed to know what God's perspective, the word is on that particular thing. Listen, this is the conversation that we're having together in the virtual audience of our Facebook. Go to VFNTV.com and click on our Facebook, or at VFNFacebook.com/VFNTV.
You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN Radio is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN Radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN Radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search in your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app, and search VFN TV and download. Free doesn't cost you a thing, and take VFN Radio on the go.